to see you. And it's good to have missionary Bob McFarland with us tonight. These are precious people. His wife does not get to be with us tonight, but his sister is, Sister Lois Truman, and Brother McFarland says, Sister Lois, glad you're able to be with us tonight. And then another family member, and one of Brother McFarland's great credentials is he's the cousin of Brother Mark McLean. So their moms are sisters, and so there you have it. And so we're very happy to have Brother McFarland with us, and he's been blessed to pastor and used of the Lord in pastoring and evangelizing, and then since 1997, for 20 years, has been on the mission field, mainly in the Middle East. And I'm not going to tell you a whole lot right now. I'm going to save that for him, but we're so very thankful. And of course, his parents, Sister Lois's parents, were also missionaries there too. I remember as a young boy in Brother Gwen's church, seeing them show those slides when they were getting ready to go over, and then as they were traveling and deputizing. And the Lord has used them to be a blessing in various areas, and because of his years of experience, he is used in various ways, not only evangelism, but then serves as to replace various leaders as they have to come back to the United States. One of the great things that has happened, and he'll tell you about this, they have been able to register and establish a Bible school in the city of Jerusalem. And great things are happening, and he will tell you about that tonight. He's a man of God. He believes in the Holy Ghost and the experience of God. It's a wonderful treat to have them. And on a personal note, this family has been a great blessing to us because it was their mom that helped win my mom to the Lord. Sister Margie McFarland reached around the world, but early in her life, she reached across the street, witnessed to my mom, brought her to the tent meeting, and mom received the baptism of the Holy Ghost there. So they were missionaries before they were missionaries. Brother McFarland, it's good to have you tonight. Come and take your liberty in the Lord. We honor you.
Thank you. God bless you. You may be seated. Let me get on and redeem the time here and get my commercials out of the way. In this city of Jerusalem, Sister McFarland got with some of our musicians and some of our people over there and recorded this CD in Hebrew and in English. It's recorded live in the studio there. And it's all put together by apostolic people. And those guys just have way too much fun doing this stuff. One of them was in Jerusalem and one was in Morocco. And they played music on some kind of electronic connection. And it's on here. This is The Word Was Made Flesh. This book was written to basically detail how when you are saved, you take on the DNA of God, you're going to live forever. This is the history of the origin of the Trinity. If you ever wondered where it came from, I did the research. The first ever recorded Trinitarian worship was in the Sumerian civilization, 3000 BCE. Paganism still is. This is the Bible dates. This is where I started with a 966 BCE beginning of the temple for Solomon in the spring of that year, and I worked internal scripture backwards to Adam at 4,112 BCE. Then we worked forward to Jesus, born October the 1st, 5 BCE. These are the feasts of the Bible, the seven feasts that are recorded in about 1446 BCE by Moses. And about 1,000 years later, Esther added the Feast of Purim. And then about another 300 years later, the Maccabees, the Hasmonean dynasty, added the Feast of Hanukkah, or in the Bible it's referred to as the Feast of Lights. And all of that's available. This is a Bible study that we created. And I went through 50 jobs in a 30-year window. So I'm still trying to figure out what I want to be when I grow up, and working on that. Well, one of my jobs was an engineering consultant. You walk in the door, and he had a big sign up and said, "What's the most important leg on any three-legged stool?" "The one that is missing." And so I took that idea and built a complete standalone salvation plan. What does the Holy Ghost do by itself in the salvation plan? What does water baptism in Jesus' name do by itself? And so if you're teaching somebody that needs a little bit more eloquent understanding, that's a good Bible study. I'm going to be careful. This is live, right? I decided it was a ridiculous thing for us apostolics to have to use Trinitarian commentaries and Trinitarian ideas and Trinitarian writings to proof all of our studies. And I worked with Marvin Treese, and he died and left no forwarding address. And I tried Bob Trapani, and he did the same thing. So I figured, before I die, I better get this done. And so I'm writing 6-volume commentary by an apostolic, through apostolic eyes, for apostolics. This is the first volume. It covers the entire creation, the books of the Bible, the feasts and the dates and all of these things, how it all worked together throughout the Old Testament. It's available outside. And then the second one I finished about 2 weeks ago in Canada. This is the New Testament, Life and Times of Jesus. All of the New Testament, how he spoke, what he spoke about, and what it meant when he spoke it. And I'm starting supposedly tomorrow on the book of Acts and the epistles according to Paul. And so all of these are available out at the Jerusalem Bazaar outside the door there. And we take cash, check, credit cards, whatever you need. We'll make a deal. So see us out the service outside. Have these books. If we sell out, I'll get more. Since I'm the publisher and I'm the printer and I'm the author, we're never going to run out of them. I can guarantee you right now. In the matter of living there 21 years, we went over there. Sister McFarlane went over as Amers Associates and a kind of temporary, let's see what could happen. And so we got an application and filled it out, and nobody was more shocked 14 months later when I walked out of the Ministry of Education with a rolled up paper that had the first ever secular liberal arts college registered by an apostolic since Acts 2. And when I got out the door of the place, the impact hit me, and I just went to weeping and couldn't believe how much that this actually meant, but I had no idea what it meant. So I called Brother Rodenbush, and he never has told me where he was, but he sounded quite groggy because it was 9 o'clock Jerusalem time, so wherever he was sound asleep. And I said, "I've got this in my hand." And he said, "Well, listen, breathe deep. Calm down. Breathe deep. Go find a coffee shop. Get you a cup. And sit down, and let's digest this." Consequently, obviously, later on, the things went right way, and the registration got all completed, and the lawyers got all finished. And I'll never forget the last office we were in was full of lawyers, and we were standing there, and actually was sitting at the table. And the lawyer says, okay, now we couldn't get, I was trying to get a name of Pentecost in it somewhere. And they kept saying, what do you want that word in there for? I said, it's a Greek word, you know. It means 50. We got 50 chances, 50 people, 50 places, 50 everything going to happen. And he, main lawyer says, well, I don't like it. I said, okay, you pick a name. And he looked at me and said, okay, it's the International Biblical College. I said, sounds good. IBC. I thought Mooney would love that. So, and, ultimately, we went through and filled out all this documentation. Everything was completed. Last thing he says, oh, takes his pen out and he says, I need to know what is your degree? And at that time, I looked at him and said, and he looked at me and said, do I need to even ask what kind of visa you were in this country on? I said, yeah, I'm a tourist. He took his pen and threw it up, not quite this high, but hit the ceiling and banged down the middle of the table. And he looked around at about eight people around that table and he said, don't tell me. We have registered a non-degreed tourist with the best college registration ever been issued. He said, aren't you leaving the country? I was headed like in 2 weeks headed for conference. He said, when you come back in the country, have some paper to hang on the wall. So I got a bachelor's in administration, and then eventually I went to the master's and now the PhD in biblical studies. So I am officially the CEO and founder of this college and can run it. So a few years ago, I became motor homeless in Texas. I was some preacher's kid drove by and saw my motor home, said his mom and dad wanted it, and I said, yeah, yeah, yeah. And sure enough, in 3 days they not only wanted it, they owned it. And there I was sitting out in the church parking lot in Buna, Texas, trying to figure out how to get a trailer load of stuff to Indiana. And I'll tell you, I'm gonna write that in a book too. It's called Living in the Promised Land. But ultimately, my wife on Facebook found Judy Baxter, and Irvin was down somewhere in a funeral situation. I said, did you drive your van by any chance? He said, yeah, I did. I said, swing back by this parking lot of this church, pick up this trailer I bought and can't pull, and let's get this thing out of here. So we drove it to Dallas, and I bought another vehicle with a hitch and hauled it to Indiana. But the 10 days he and I were together, we began to posture, what if? What if? And so ultimately, long story short, he and I walked through a particular 12th floor of a 13-floor tower in the middle of Jerusalem on the highest point of Jaffa Road and said, I think this 4,000-square-foot facility right here would really be nice. All we need is $1 million. And I had 50,000 and he had about 400,000. And he went back to Dallas and dreamed a dream and put together a video, put it out, and it was only available for a $500 donation toward the new building in Jerusalem. 16 days, $600,000 poured in that place. So we have 4,000 feet facility sitting on the 12th floor of the 13 floor tower with 12 windows down each side, and you look out over Israel 30 miles north and 30 miles south. You actually can see our man Jordan from our windows looking out across the Dead Sea area. And he teaches prophecy every week live out of Dallas on the screens there in our office, and it's interactive. And so we use that as the prophecy shop vac, bringing people in. And then we, on site there, just baptize them along the way. And the Lord's building a church. And right now there are 6 churches. I said 20 years ago, I'm going to go to Israel. I'm going to have a facility on the ground. Going to have churches and going to have them solvent within themselves in 20 years. Or I'm going to say the job was way too big for me. Should have got somebody else. But in 20 years, there's a facility on the ground completed. We have 6 churches that have pastors and are solvent within themselves. They're all in different languages. They're in Tagalog. They're in Russian. They're in Hebrew. We rent that facility to 3 Messianic congregations every weekend. And we have 2 of our own congregations that use it too. So there's 5 services go on inside that one place every Saturday and Sunday. And then we have churches in Ashkelon, churches in Tel Aviv, churches in a town called Daughter Work in Rianana, and now that one's granddaughtering a work in another place called Hodsharam. And so I just got word that the first service of the new church in a lot had 7 people. And I got another lady that I just licensed up in Haifa, and she's got a job going and raising people up. So one thing I do is I realize that my age, I need to surround myself with these young guys because they can get a lot more done than I can. But I just need to tell them how to do it. So, but just one quick more little plug here is just outside of our facility, the insurance company on the right and the lawyers are on the left exiting. And one of the lawyers has passed away and the insurance guy wants to retire. And they've offered to sell that whole extension outside of our door, which would raise our property on out there, for $225,000. And when I brought this to the brethren at HQ, they decided to call this the Robert and Marjorie McFarland Memorial Training Center. And the idea is going to be so that in, gotta be careful here, in closed countries where people cannot come to a U.S. Bible school, they can come to Jerusalem because it's the center of all 3 faiths. But they can attend a school on that 12th floor and get an experience and take that experience back inside closed countries that nobody can get into. And so the Lord is opening this door, and it's available right now. So we've given a copy to the pastor, and he's going to see you about that. I did want to say that it is such a privilege that this church has been a sponsor of our work for as far back as I can remember. And so I want to say thank you again for that, all that you have done for us. And the Lord is doing some great things and raising up some young people that are stepping in to help over there. As I'm the CEO of this academic educational operation. I'm the CEO of another religious operation registered. I'm the general superintendent of the UPC of Israel. I'm the general superintendent of the UPC of Palestine, among other things. So obviously you can figure out I do nothing well. I need all the help I can get. So the Lord is bringing up some of these young men to help us in all of these areas where they can put their energy and work into it and not have to worry about all this business of business. My phone goes off all hours of the day and night with something happening, something needing addressed in whatever country. I might point out that additionally, because of the relationship of our country with other countries, that it looks like the way we're going to be able to open this same door in Cyprus is using this college as an extension into Cyprus. And I have to got Cyprus guys and Greek guys, and I got to contact them on how to make this happen. And so other countries around the world that are having trouble with getting registration or getting planted on the ground are now finding it available to use this already done operation and just extend it out. And so to God be the glory for all the great things he has done. I do feel like I have a word from the Lord here. So can you listen fast? I got Brother Reeder and Brother Levine here going to help me out. They're going to help me read scriptures. We don't know what scriptures yet. We'll get to them. Okay. It's always good to figure out what kind of scripture you want to use when it's time to use it. But I was listening to this song, How Great, or God is Great. In Hebrew, it's the Rabbon Olam. Literally translates as the sovereign of the universe. And when you think in that term, how God, in his infinite wisdom, is able to look through time. Because, see, I say, God lives in quantum physics. All the chemical people and you physics people, you with me now? Okay, let's break it down. Quantum physics is basically the same thing in two places at once. Time makes it different. Some of y'all are still blank. What's this address here? 901? Okay. Well, 1,000 years ago, what was right here where you're sitting? Maybe a herd of buffalo? God, because he don't wear a Rolex, can see the buffalo and us at the same time. Now I see the lights come on. Okay. Now, when you understand this, God has the ability to see through time without being restricted by the time. He does not have to wait on the buffalo to move. And he can see us and the buffalo and the Indian wars that happened right where you're sitting, all at the same time. So when you look at scripture, and this is where I love this, these Trinitarians that really take a little bit more authority. Let's find Genesis 1:26. That'd be a good place to start. Genesis 1:26. Is that a King James Version?
Yes, sir.
Okay.
Yes, sir.
Okay. You got to be careful. Is that the 1611 edition? No, we don't want. We want King James. It's they're all Trinitarians, but that's okay too. And it says 1611, but it's not. It's really 1769, because you can't read the 1611. Okay, one verse here. Here we go. 1:26. God said.
And God said, "Let us make man in our image, after our likeness, and let them have dominion over the fish of the sea, and over the fowl of the air, and over the cattle, and over all the earth, and over every creeping thing that creepeth upon the earth."
That's good. How many believe that? Okay, the question now, just go ahead and leave that up there, gentlemen. Us is plural. If you look at all of the other, God said, let there be. Let there be firmament. Let there be grass. Let there be animals. Let there be. When it comes to 1:26, he changes the phrasing to let us. And now some of the actually later versions of translations that have no basis out in the side say that's the first worship or first reference to the Trinity, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Ghost. Let us. Now, let's back up a minute here. What is the parameters of plurality? Us is a minimum of two, maximum of infinity. So three is true. Us is three. But it's also four. 4 million and 40,000 and 20 billion. So let's look at in Hebrew. I'm not going to give you a big long lesson here in Hebrew, and we're hurrying fast, but the verb make in Hebrew can be genderized and pluralized. What word would you use in English to make masculine and plural? There's some of these things you just can't get there from here. And so when you're talking about make, you can't use plural as makes. So the translators added us in there to give it the context. So then the question then is, who is the us? Now the Trinitarians say it's the Father, it's the Son, it's the Holy Ghost. Now I'm always interested in, can you explain to me how the Son is sitting there, not yet born, for 4,200 years? And yet he's sitting there talking. Now, you know, we can get into academic apologetics. But why don't we just use scripture? Okay? Well, why you got your Bible? You got one there too? Go to 2 and 7. Yeah. Next page there. 2 and 7. Let's get these young guys help me out here. Genesis 2 and 7.
And the Lord God formed man of the dust of the ground, and breathed into his nostrils the breath of life, and man became a living soul.
Now, how many believe this one? Okay. So, if 1:26 is us, plural, and 2 and 7 is dust and breath, could we rewrite 1:26 to say, God said, dust... Put one finger up there. You and I, we will make man in our image. You are the carriage or the vehicle or the carcass. I am the life inside of it. Y'all with me? You want to get a little deep? What is dust? All the ladies say it's that stuff that's on the table, you know. Scientifically, dust is not native to this planet. It rains on this planet at a quarter inch a year, known as solar dust. And it is actually when there is one galaxy that gobbles up another galaxy, it restructures the molecular atomic mass, and it doesn't always get back together correctly, and the heavier elements take their position in the centers, and this leftover grains of a cataclysmic space collision is called space waste. Is it amazing that God chose space waste to be the vehicle to put his spirit inside of it and create life? Now, I heard the pastor say, you know, the Holy Ghost can move anytime. Why is that so prevalent here in church? We say we're in this common place and we have the Spirit of God here among us. Well, scientifically, the ingredients of your body, plural, bodies, heard Genesis 1:3 when God said, let there be light. And light, Greek, the Septuagint says, and light blasted into the darkness. Science says it was an unknown force. I love that. That was on a trajectory that hit a hydrogen gas tower in the right place that it collapsed on itself and moved it from negative 462 degrees Fahrenheit to a 10 trillion plus degree fusion in 1/1,000,000,000th of a second. I'm glad they asked me because I can tell them who the unknown force was. That had the exact right velocity, the exact perfect sound, the exact perfect place, the exact perfect point of impact. To take Genesis 1:2, which is Hebraic, literal, telling us what absolute zero is. Now, Hebrew only has 4,500 words. And so he can't, there's no such thing as molecular action and all of this stuff. English has 1,000,000 words. You ever get to a place where you couldn't exactly say what you wanted to say with 1,000,000 word vocabulary? What kind of world are we in here? And yet, God, in his infinite wisdom, blasted a universe into existence, and the fragmented leftover residual waste landed on the third rock from the sun, and he chose that rock and that waste to plant his spirit in there. Your body has literally traces of every element known to man in it. And I say, when you get in the Spirit, something older than dirt starts moving. There's something that resonates from way down deep in an unknown source, goes back billions of years ago, and the voice of God that started the entire ignition of a universe begins to radiate through you and I. Man, the Holy Ghost is in here doing something right now. I don't know what's going on in here. Doesn't matter. I'm going to be out of here in a half hour and gone tomorrow. But right now, the Holy Ghost wants to do something in your life. Man, I feel the Holy Ghost doing something. I got a couple more minutes here. If Genesis 1:3, that was written by Moses looking on as a third party. If he were standing there, he would have heard God, if God speak in Hebrew, say, Or, which is ignition, or fire, or light, or to light. All the same thing in that one word. And that one word takes the absolute zero domain of a dead universe and puts it into perfect balance that has lasted, some say, 13, 14 billion years. And the pieces of it are walking around in this room right now. So if God can do that with one word, and there are parts of ingredients in you and I that heard that, whatever you ask in my name, I will do it. The entire first chapter of Genesis proves our God can do anything. With nothing or with something. Does not matter to him. And tonight he wants to do stuff with you. Is it too wild to say that Genesis 1:26 could be stated in this room tonight, right now? The God of creation who is in this room speaking to the ingredients of space waste, has a room full of space waste and says, let's make man in our image. Let's make man in our image. I feel the Holy Ghost right here. If I can realize that, that is the commission of Jesus himself. Go make disciples. How do you do it? You just go find some space waste and fill it up with the Spirit of God. What a neat idea. And he thought of that billions of years ago. And we just now come up with it. I thought I really stumbled onto something. I found out Rabbi Rambam taught this 1,000 years ago. Where have I been for 1,000 years? You know, I feel like the Holy Ghost wants to do something in this room right now. Let's bow our heads. Father, this night, into this room, let your Spirit enlighten each one at their intellect level that they are capable of realizing no task is too big for you. you were one word away from a universe. And salvation to our friends, family, neighbors, associates is simply one word away from them. Let us be the vessels to take your word. For we realize, Lord, that Paul and Silas in jail, but there was an earthquake in their mouth. And Lord, salvation is in our mouth. And we are given your tools to bring revival to our circles of influence. In the authority of the power of the name of Jesus. Come on, let's worship the Lord here right now. Let's worship the Lord here right now.
I thank you for your power. I thank you for your power, Lord. Hallelujah. I thank you for your power. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. 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 Praise God. I want us together right now to offer ourselves to the Lord. He has directed us this year. I spoke nothing about this to Brother McFarland on the track of disciple making. But I believe as we offer ourselves fresh and new tonight to be that and agree with God, let us make disciples. Use us, Lord, to share your spirit and your word. And I want us just to focus right now on whatever it would take for us to do whatever God wants us to do in disciple making. Would you open yourself right now? Would you just lift your hearts or lift your hands and let's just surrender. God, we want to be used by you in evangelism and discipleship. God, those that we are working with now, those that we are about to work with and have not yet met, I pray that you would use us, God. Direct our footsteps, direct our lives to meet those people. And then those that we are working with and have met, I pray your anointing upon each person here tonight. Those that are already working with individuals and witnessing to individuals, I pray, Lord, that you would use their words and you would manifest your spirit through their lives and use us to do the right thing and to say the right thing. And Lord, you know every circumstance and we don't even know all of the details and the circumstances. But Lord, we ask for your guidance and your direction. We yield ourselves to being the vessel that you want us to be, oh God. We want to come into partnership with you. We want to fulfill Genesis 1:26. Help us now, Lord. Help us now. Hallelujah. Would you just receive that from the Lord, whatever he's giving to you right now, whatever he is wanting to do in your life, Lord, we receive it. We receive it, God. We receive it. Hallelujah. 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 I know that you are already praying for people. And I would say do not give up on praying for them. And no matter how impossible or how far away they may seem. And perhaps you feel inadequate to do the disciple making that is necessary or evangelism. But God is going to be our helper and our partner. And I believe prayers we have prayed right now, sincerely prayed, God heard that and he's going to answer that and he's going to help you to do what we need to do. This is his commission. Hallelujah. Now, if it was only one word away from speaking this entire universe into existence, any need that we have tonight, be it a healing need, a financial need, whatever it is, all God has to do is speak a word toward that. We are one word away from the miracle or from the prayer request that you have. If we'll agree to this right now, if we will agree to God and his word, we're just one word from God. All he has to do is speak that word
and that lost loved one comes, or that financial provision comes, or that healing comes, hallelujah, would you stand together with me right now? And I want us to believe God for needs and for situations and miracles. Let's agree together.